In rural central Wisconsin, you're going to find many groups, Hispanic, Hmong, Amish, Mennonite communities, lots of them in our central part of our state. And of course, with all of these groups, there can be linguistic and cultural differences, certainly are. And sometimes that can make these groups difficult to reach. But they need to be made aware of health advisories about things like groundwater pollution or maybe toxins in fish. And that's where this segment of our program comes in, because we have a couple of people who are working on that, or will be working on that. Francisco Aguero, one of them, is the health coverage coordinator for the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service. Also is a coordinator with the Hmong and Hispanic Communication Network and vice president of Healthy Opportunities for Latin Americans, or HOLA, which operates in 8 central Wisconsin counties. Francisco, welcome. Thanks for joining in today.
Well, thank you, Larry. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here with us as well. Julia Majerus, who's an environmental justice policy advisor in the office of the Secretary of the Wisconsin DNR. And Julia, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Larry. It's nice to be here.
As we talk with them, they've got a really nice grant, and you'll probably have some questions as we move along today. So maybe your water, for example, comes from a private well. Maybe you didn't know about the freshwater fish that may or may not be safe to eat. I hope you'll join in. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@wpr.org. Julie, let's start with you. In December, the Wisconsin DNR was awarded a nice grant, $1 million federal grant from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. And what's that purpose of that grant?
That's right. So it's a 3-year project that started in October. And as you said, we were awarded $1 million. And in order for a state agency to apply for the grant, we had to do so in partnership with a nonprofit. And that's where we were connected with Francisco and his team and the H2N and R2N programs through the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service. And they approached us with this interest in water quality. And the goal of the grant really is partnership with a nonprofit to connect to really help out communities on the ground level. And so that's what we're excited about in this partnership. The goal is really outreach and education for local communities in these 8 counties that we'll talk about in central Wisconsin to get the word out about the importance of testing your well. And also, as you mentioned, the importance of understanding fish consumption advisories so that you're making healthy choices when you're feeding your family.
Makes perfect sense to me that you would go with to a nonprofit, people who are very familiar with the community on a much, let's say, I mean, certainly the DNR is familiar with the community, but not in the depth of level that somebody like San Francisco would be. Francisco, and you're the director of this project.
Yeah, I am. It's a lot of work that comes ahead of us, but we have a good understanding of our population in rural Wisconsin because I personally moved from Chile to Wisconsin back in 2009, and I've been paying close attention to the people that lives around me. And it's interesting to say that rural Wisconsin has a very diverse population.
Yeah, can you talk about the populations in this 8-county area?
Yeah, so we've been talking to the health departments from different counties, kind of to learn a little bit about what are the efforts when it comes to private well testing and fish advisories, and it's always interesting to learn also what are the dynamics of each county. For example, something that really was interesting to me was when we were talking with Clark County. Clark County is close to Neillsville. It's like right in the middle of Wisconsin. And we were we work in collaboration at the event that we do every other month in Abbotsford, Wisconsin. So Clark County, like a third of the population is Amish and Mennonite, but then they have this big town under their jurisdiction that is mostly Hispanic. And
interesting.
Abbotsford, Wisconsin, I would say the population there between Abbotsford, Colby, Spencer has the largest amount of Hispanic people in central Wisconsin. So for us was like a direct relationship that we need to work together. But at the same time, the town of Abbotsford is like an hour away from the health department. So it's a whole challenge to provide this information to their communities when it's like so far apart from their health department office.
Are there cultural, and I can see the distance, are there cultural reasons why there may be differences or issues, I should say, problems?
So the problem is that it's not easy to provide a reach in rural areas because everything is so far apart. And when you come to bring people in, you have to have something that people need. And health departments offer amazing services to their communities. But at the same time, it's hard for them to reach because they cannot do it home by home. But if we do an event, per se, then we know that people will come because we can help fill some of those needs at one place.
That makes sense. And I should, the eight counties we've got, Wausau, Marathon, Clark, Taylor, there's Langlade, Lincoln, I think, Shawano, Portage, and Wood.
Yeah, and diverse population
that?
And all that. Yeah, so we have Hispanic, we have Hmong,
right.
We have Brazilians coming in also in our region.
We've got urban and rural areas.
So the challenge is, it's not a sort of, shall we say, mass communication kind of thing, using those kinds of tools, but it's more a person-to-person kind of, or a group-to-group kind of thing?
Yeah, it's how can we gain their trust? Because there's always a lot of hesitance of working with agencies and working with people that you don't know, but when you have someone that belongs to their community and speak their language, it's a lot easier to provide information and to actually be in listen, and then at the same time bring that information that you collect back to the health departments, and in this case, back to the partners that we work and say like, hey, these communities are facing this need, so we can work something around this.
John in Appleton emailed to ask if our guests believe or have an opinion if the current situation in Washington is okay to be able to follow through on this.
Yeah, no, it's an understandable question. There's a lot of unanswered questions right now about federal funding. This project began in October. We're moving forward, but it really, his question highlights the importance of federal funding, right? I think people are starting to realize more and more how it really touches everyone with the different services and programs that are provided. And this project is an example of some unique opportunities that federal funding sometimes provides to help us do something, you know, try something new. And that was really the goal here for DNR, is to try something that we've never done before, because we're really trying to prioritize how we communicate with the community, how we engage the public, and how we bring everyone, and especially with a focus on historically marginalized groups, into conversations and decision making. So we saw a great opportunity with this federal funding to be able to partner with an on-the-ground organization who could do that in a way that we can't, because we know we have some capacity issues in wanting to do the comprehensive community engagement that we do.
Yeah, it's kind of a unique, would you say it's unique?
It's absolutely unique. In some ways, it's something that we've never done before, this kind of partnership. And that's the goal. You know, there's a couple of goals to the project. Of course, we want to increase private well water testing in this area during the three-year period. We definitely want to improve understanding of those fish consumption advisories. But there's kind of some overarching long-term goals as well, is one, for those two topic areas, for DNR to learn from what Francisco and his team are going to bring back to us as far as how can we be better at messaging around those topics, but then also through the project being able to develop a model for this partnership collaboration model to be able to do outreach and education in a more effective way throughout the state and across different programs.
Yeah. I was thinking about other programs that the DNR is involved in, and I know the DNR over the years has relied heavily. I was just thinking last week we were talking about sturgeon,
right?
And the relationship that the DNR carries with very successfully with interest groups in the areas where sturgeon are grown,
right?
And raised and so, but this is a little different in some ways, is it not?
This is a little different in that we're partnering with this community-based organization who has a relationship, and as Francisco mentioned, those trusted messengers with the on-the-ground communities in a way that we don't have, especially when we're talking about some of the specific groups that we know have more limited access to information. We want to reach everyone through this group, but our focus will be on those that have even more limited access. Of course, we joke about when it comes to fish consumption advisories, I think most of us sometimes don't understand, right? So it's, like I said, it's going to be input that we're going to take back, and how can we be better at kind of simplifying that communication so everyone can make those healthy choices?
Yeah, when I think about fish consumption, yeah, it depends. Actually, it's probably a good thing because you got that 8-county area and the consumption advisory from lake to lake within that area, probably pretty much the same.
I'm going to say, Larry, I won't speak specifically to that because that's where my technical expertise is limited. But I mean, generally, I'm just going to agree with you.
Oh, man. Francisco Guerrero, health coverage coordinator for the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service and vice president of Healthy Opportunities for Latin Americans. Operating at 8 central Wisconsin counties. Julie Majerus is the Environmental Justice Policy Advisor in the Office of the Secretary of the Wisconsin DNR, our guest. Questions for them, comments, maybe an experience to share, I hope you'll join in. Number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Thanks so much for joining us today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. We're taking a look now at some messaging, a project, a research project. I guess it's not only research, but it's actually let's get things done and then maybe do some research on how effective we are in doing it, and looking at improving water and fish consumption health messaging in rural and central Wisconsin with our two guests very actively involved in this, Francisco Guerrero and Julie Majerus, Julie with the DNR. Francisco's got wearing a bunch of hats there,
yeah.
by the way, and maybe we should... Let's spend a minute just on those groups, because you're involved with, let's talk about first maybe the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, or WIPS, I guess we could say.
Yeah, WIPS. I joined WIPS about 3 years ago, and part of the work that one of the project that was developed by WIPS was H2N project. An Hispanic and Hmong communication network was created to provide outreach to Hmong and Hispanic communities in central Wisconsin and help connect these communities to multiple resources, being one of them health navigation, how we can connect or help connect families to a primary care doctor. And for that, we have a group of health navigators that are certified, and we can pretty much navigate the health system to families that need to connect to a primary care doctor or maybe that need assistance with enrollment into Medicaid or the Affordable Care Act. And also maybe they have a question regarding how can I pay my bill if I don't have health insurance. So our team kind of helped that. We are part of Covering Wisconsin, and we help the population in central Wisconsin with that.
And that organization actually works across across the whole state.
Yeah.
But zeroing in for this project on that area. And what about your other HOLA? The gosh, I've forgotten.
Yeah, Healthy Opportunities for Latin America.
Yeah. And you're involved, obviously, pretty heavily involved in that as well.
Yeah, involved with HOLA because being Hispanic myself and knowing that Central Wisconsin have become the second largest county, I will say, with Hispanic because of the amount of dairy farms that we have in Marathon County. We have seen a lot of Hispanic people coming to our area, and we noticed that there wasn't an organization that was focusing on the needs of the Hispanic population in central Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So then me, Mariana Sabela, Mark Bradley, and a group of Dr. Corey Norbom kind of got together, and we decided we can make a change, a positive change for our communities, and that's how HOLA started.
And Julie, let me turn to you. You are the health policy, the environmental justice policy advisor.
Yes.
In the office of the Secretary of DNR. Explain that role.
Well, yeah, and it's no wonder you mentioned health because it's, of course, tied to health equity as well. But really what my role is all about, and it's a relatively new position at the DNR, just over 2 years, and it's really looking at, at the DNR, we believe that every person living in Wisconsin should have access to clean air, clean water, beautiful natural spaces to enjoy for their health and well-being. But when we're doing environmental justice work, what that simply means is we acknowledge that that's not the case for everyone in Wisconsin. So really, our environmental justice work is about leveling the playing field and filling some of the gaps where people are being impacted disproportionately.
So this project sounds like right up your alley.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. So in our effort to prioritize those communities, we were excited about this opportunity to do that.
Kate had emailed. She's wondering how these two seemingly different objectives of the grant come together. How are the two issues related? I guess her question is.
Everybody deserves clean water in the state. And the question is, how can we convey that message to all communities in the state? In particular, in central Wisconsin, in the beginning, we were talking how diverse central Wisconsin is with our rural population being spread across the state. And then the new population coming in, like the Hispanic and the Hmong population that are high elements or high individuals living in central Wisconsin. But we understand that language sometimes can be a barrier. So by having community health workers that speak their language, it's a lot easier to gain their trust and actually convey the message and help explain the process of how you can test your well and why it's important to test your well, and also why it's important to know what is a safe amount of fish that you can consume from the lakes around you, knowing that in the case, for example, Hmong population, they're big into fishing. So this information is important for our population.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. Michael emailed to say nearly every water body in Wisconsin has some fish consumption advisory for at least one demographic group. And Michael comments the DNR has done a great work posting invasive species signing as well at nearly every boat launch. But Michael says they have yet to see a sign detailing a fish consumption advisory at the lakes, and wondering, I guess, why the DNR hasn't put up signage about fish consumption advisories.
Yeah, it's a good question, and I know we've already gathered some similar feedback as Francisco and his team are connecting with the different county health departments. And Francisco and I are also learning as we go along. We've met with the fisheries team, and You know, we've started to learn a bit more about those challenges. One challenge is that some of those, depending on the property, it's up to the county to be able to post that kind of signage. Of course, resources then sometimes is a barrier to being able to do that. But that's definitely a goal of the project, is to get input around this geographic area, around where it would be beneficial to have more signage, and then start to determine if there's ways that we can do that, or different places where we do have the opportunity to send, share that information, maybe have a QR code that people can access. So definitely that's the kind of input that we're looking for and we'll take back.
Yeah. Now, we mentioned earlier, you mentioned earlier, Francisco, that the sort of the community getting together. Talk about how that's organized. I mean, you need to have people who know what they're talking about, obviously, but the whole process of getting people together.
Yeah, starting it's a collaboration. We know that in the case of each county, they have relationship with the people that lives in the county. And we also know that the county, sometimes they have limited capacity to provide outreach to everyone for multiple reasons. So partnering with them is one way to kind of gather a group of people in one place, working with local churches is another way. For example, every other month we do a big event in Abbotsford, and we have counties, health department from Clark, Taylor, Marathon County, then other organization or clinics come also to this event. So then the church provide access to a food pantry to over 300 people in Abbotsford. So then you add all the other services that the counties provide, plus all the partners that join this effort, and then you have like a mobile clinic in a place where that kind of facilitate access, because it's right in town, you don't have to drive, it's easy to access, all of the services are free, and it kind of brings community together, and the health departments are able to do their work a lot faster and easier because everything is there. So accessibility is a huge part of that event.
Yeah, I would think it would be. And you wonder sometimes about, you know, the well testing, for example. I guess there's, for a lot of people, they just kind of forget about it, the well's there and so forth.
Right.
But is there resistance to getting well water tested?
I would say kind of yes, in a way. There's people sometimes, I'm going to talk about my own situation. I live in the countryside. I have a well. And the last time I tested was 2011. And that was...
I think you're supposed to do it every what?
Right. You
every
have to do it like...
You
have to do it every year. And I think part of the reason why we don't do it is because it kind of, I'm going to leave it for tomorrow. Or
yeah.
In some cases. In other cases, it's that people maybe is not aware of how to do it, how to get the kids in order for them to test. And also because it's not something that we're talking openly about it, I think that also kind of make that kind of process go behind our minds.
Yeah. And so what kind of information will you be giving, you know, in these community meetings? And it sounds like a really nice setup with having those central areas for people to come together. But are you going to be... let's say also bringing along testing kits or things of that nature. Talk about what you're going to be doing in that way.
Yeah, we want to make sure that people understand the importance of private well testing. So we're going to bring the kits with us, and also we're going to be mailing those kits to the community members of each county, hopefully, and also explain how often they can do the test, and also what are the labs that are closer to their home so they can also do their testing, and kind of explain people that the importance of clean water is relevant to their health and relevant to their families. And providing that information to all communities is kind of ultimately the goal.
Yeah, I would think so. Will there be fish advisory information for people, for handouts to say, you know, if you're fishing on this lake or that lake, here's an advisory or not?
Yeah, the DNR has a lot of information on that, and we're working together to kind of create flyers that we can leave at the boat landing, for example, like Julie was mentioning the QR code, but also something that maybe can be more tangible is also part of the project.
Yeah, I would think at those meetings it wouldn't hurt to be handing out some of that as well, that fish advisory.
Yeah, and maybe we should mention, too, these first few months are, so, again, it's a three-year project.
Yeah.
So we're definitely, and that's the benefit of this partnership, is taking these first few months as a bit of an assessment and also some train-the-trainer opportunities. So that's where the DNR comes in is, you know, we're sub-awarding the funding to WIPS and OLA so that the H2N and R2N programs can do what they do best, right? That kind of community outreach. But as initially, the technical expertise at DNR is going to be working closely with their community health workers to share what information is needed. But then also Francisco's team is going to be doing some community survey work to understand what the current understanding is of community members, what kind of information would be most beneficial and how. And so his team is kind of in the process of developing the best way to communicate that information.
And you'll certainly have good baseline information on well testing as an example that over the 3 years, when I'm thinking about what have been the benefits here and successes, you'll have that.
Absolutely.
A lot of that information. Well, I tell you what, here we are out of time. I want to thank you both for coming, and we'll have to look down the road. And once we get some results and get some things going and find out how's it working?
Yeah,
definitely. Fantastic. Happy to come back.
We'll be happy to have you back, Julie. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Julie Majerus, Environmental Justice Policy Advisor, out of the Office of the Secretary of the Wisconsin DNR. Francisco Guerrero, Health Coverage Coordinator for the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, and Vice President of OLA, Healthy Opportunities for Latin Americans. We'll get them back and we'll do it again. And information about this is on the DNR website, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I know it is. Thank you so much for listening, and thanks to our folks that work here. Jeff Robbins, Technical Director, Lee Rayburn, another technical director, of course, Clara Neipert, Joel Patton, our producers, and Jill Nadeau, our executive producer. I'm Larry Mueller. Stay with us. Lots more in store.